Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore. We're kicking off the lunch hour with our Braxton Big Clip of the Day. It's brought to you by Braxton Automotive. After warranty luxury repair.
It's the calendar. We're playing 60 games in 63 days right now. I don't see, given how the reality of the health situation over the past few weeks, how we were going to get going any faster than the calendar we're on right now, no matter what the state of those negotiations were.
That's Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. And Jason, it's hard to be, I think, a worse commissioner than Bud Selig was, but I think Rob Manfred's making a real solid case for that title now. A couple things. One, you remember back when the Astros scandal broke, he referred to the World Series trophy as a piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then this past week now, he has come out and said that, well, the fact is, we weren't willing to play more. The owners weren't willing to play more than 60 games anyway. So if the owners weren't willing to play more than 60 games, then why did we have to wait so long to dig through all this back and forth stuff in order to be able to get a deal finalized and be able to get baseball restarted? Baseball should be playing right now, Jason. This deal should have been done a long time ago. Baseball should have started this weekend, and we should be watching the Braves play tomorrow.
I understand his thought on 60 games for whatever mathematical equation they have, as that's the sweet spot of balancing the expenditures versus TV revenue versus whatever else they can bring in. I get that part. That's fine. But to then add this element in about, well, it's 60 games in 63 days, we couldn't have done more. You have another team sport that is playing in this country, in the NWSL. So to say that, well, we couldn't have played earlier, it's just not true. It's just flat out not true. Might you have had to figure out some different ways to do that? Absolutely. But it's kind of obvious from his statements, which, you know, maybe he wasn't supposed to say that part out loud, that they weren't willing to play more because, you know, they had a negotiation that was supposedly in good faith. But it's just been a bad look for baseball. I do think there will be excitement when they do start. I think maybe they'll be able to overcome some of this, but it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Let's get to our next clip.
I've heard a lot of people say that, there's going to be, how you guys say, the start next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this is going to be the toughest, like, championship you could ever win, you know, because, like, the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
That is Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Jason, I have heard this. I've heard people say it about the NBA. I've heard people say it about Major League Baseball. The fact that, well, any championship won because of what we're dealing with should come with an asterisk. I don't know. I kind of agree with Giannis on this. I think, and it's not just about the physical aspect of the NBA or the physical aspect of Major League Baseball playing, you know, 60 games in 66 days or whatever it ends up being. I think this is as much about the mental aspect of what these guys are going to have to go through and deal with over the next couple of months, and especially for some of those guys who may be isolated away from their families. I think this season's going to be tougher because of that, let alone the typical physical demands that you go through as a professional athlete.
In terms of the NBA, I think you can put the NHL into this as well. The playoffs are going to be the playoffs that we're used to in terms of the length. So, no, I would not put an asterisk by those titles at all. Baseball is a little unique because you're going from 162-game season to 60. It's not even the situation that the Braves went through in 95 where they played a shorter regular season that none of us honestly remember, really. This you're going to remember. The stats will come out of it. It'll be different. They'll be weird. You could have a 400 hitter, for example. That stuff's a little different on the baseball side. For the NBA, you win it. There should not be an asterisk by it. It's still a very difficult thing. In some ways, it might be even more difficult.
Given that we may not play a football season, it's a reckoning of ethics, values, and finances. I think coming out of this, what you'll see as to how business is conducted, how many sports are sponsored, will be radically changed in some spaces. And if it gets bad enough, I've said this from the beginning, I think some schools will have to give up sports.
It's a difficult one. Who was that, Ken?
Sorry, that was Dennis Dodd.
Dennis Dodd is a difficult one because you have to understand how big college football is in terms of revenue. And when, you know, Dennis Dodd mentions other sports might disappear, he's accurate. If you don't have football revenue coming into this season, you're going to have those non-revenue sports that will suffer because of it. And you already have seen a few cuts. If you have the revenues affected in 2020, you're going to see more there. It's just inevitable.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fact that we've already seen it. I think Furman had to drop their baseball program. I think Appalachian State made some cuts. I want to say, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I think soccer was one of the sports that got cut at Appalachian State.
It was, and that's a long-time program. But, you know, they're already looking at it being tough to support all of those other sports. When you start talking about the Power 5 conferences and the numbers are out there. If you take football revenue out of it, according to reports back in May, there were only two schools in the country that would end up on the positive side of that profit and loss margin, and it's Georgia and Texas A&M. Other schools would be at a loss if you take football revenue out, so it's going to affect other sports as well.
Yeah, and you're talking about the Power 5 conferences, too, that may be faced with having to make cuts. So if it's happening at that level where they have the big time television contracts, then you know it's going to be a factor in the group of five schools like a Georgia State, or at the FCS level, you know those schools are going to see it as well. Because here's what happens if we end up having college football to where you only play your conference games and the non-conference games end up getting cut, then what does that mean for a lot of those FCS level schools, especially the FCS schools in the Southeast who rely so much on that money from those quote-unquote money games, you know, going to Alabama and getting your brains kicked in, going to Gainesville and, you know, getting beat up on in order to get that $900,000 check, because that $900,000 check that you're getting from playing, you know, the SEC or the ACC or whoever it is, those schools turn around and use that money to help fund women's basketball, soccer, volleyball, track and field, lacrosse, all those type sports. So that's where the trickle down could come from. If we end up seeing the college football season, and I know that's been one of the things that I've heard mentioned is, well, we won't play, you know, we're only going to play conference games, whether that's eight or nine games or whatever, and that'll be it. If that happens, I think there's going to be some real hand-wringing happening in the mid-majors and the FCS level, if you will, in college football. Ken, if you can, give us one more. Let's hear from Adam Silver on it kind of being full steam ahead with this virus and the unpredictability.
never full steam ahead, no matter what. I think one thing we're learning about this virus is much is unpredictable. And I think we and our players together with their union, the Players Association, look at the data on a daily basis. And if there were something to change that was outside of the scope of what we're playing for, certainly we would revisit our plans. I'd also say, I mean, we're testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and we were to see spread in our community, that would, of course, would be a cause for us to stop as well.
Jason, he talked about it's never full steam ahead with the NBA right now. My question for you is, which sport do you feel most confident in being able to get their season complete? Do you feel confident, given your close ties to MLS, that MLS will finish their season?
It's tough. It's just so unpredictable when you're talking about MLS, you're talking about the NBA. I think Major League Baseball, obviously it's nowhere near even half of a season, let alone a full season. I think the sport that looks the most like it usually does in terms of length of the season is going to be the NFL. And I think the reason why is it's too important to too many different entities for those games to happen. I mean, you're talking about TV networks that have 40% of their viewership for the year tied up in NFL games. You know, it's 40 of the 50 largest programs on TV every year are NFL games. They need it. If they don't have it, the knock-on effect of advertising losses, it's critical. So you're talking major TV networks, not even getting into the cable side with an ESPN, that so much of their content is the NFL. And not even getting into college football either, strictly on the NFL. I think there are so many reasons why, from a business perspective, they need to play. They will spend whatever it takes to play, because that's what it's going to come down to for so much of this. And even if you do that, you're going to have to adapt, as Adam Silver says. You know, this happened in the Bundesliga as well, and the virus was under much more control in Germany than it is here right now, and their protocols changed almost on a daily basis and even adapted after they came back to play. Here, the NBA, MLS, everybody has to be ready to adjust based off what happens outside of their control.
All right, that's going to do it for the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive. Chris and Jason in for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and also on the Radio.com app. By the way, if you missed any of the first 2 hours of the show, head over to 92.9thegame.com. You can find our conversations there with Dr. Jerry Punch from earlier, and also Bria Feliciana, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Equalizer Soccer, joined us. We talk a little National Women's Soccer League with her. So if you missed either part of those interviews, you can hear it again by going to 92.9thegame.com. One quick note, guys, before we wrap up and get out of here. Jason and I are going to talk some baseball next, but first, guess what is happening? Guess what? The coronavirus has not stopped this 4th of July tradition. Guess what it is?
I think I know what it is.
It is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. It is on. It is happening tomorrow. Joey Chestnut will look to defend his title. By the way, they will social distance. They're only going to have 5 eaters as opposed to the typical 15 to 20. No fans will be allowed, but you can watch it tomorrow if you're into that sort of thing on ESPN. It starts at noon.
I mean, good for them to be able to keep the tradition going. I wonder what the testing procedures are for a hot dog eating contest.
Trust me. If you can eat that many hot dogs, the coronavirus is of no concern to you. The coronavirus is of no concern if you can survive a hot dog eating contest with the way those guys consume them. We'll talk a little baseball. Some new rules going into effect in 2020. Some you probably know. Universal designated hitter, base runner on second to start the extra innings. But there may be a couple of new rules in baseball that you don't know about. Jason and I will fill you in when we come back. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore in for Andy and Randy today. Here on 92.9 The Game. You can also find us on the radio.com app and certainly hope that you will. If you missed any of the other earlier parts of the show, including our conversation with Bria Felician, where we talked a little about the NWSL, you can find that. You can also find the full version of our conversation with Dr. Jerry Punch that went for about 25 minutes, and appreciate Dr. Jerry Punch giving us some time, and you can hear his thoughts. Kenneth brought up earlier about the fact that Back to the Future is turning 35 today. Days of Thunder, which Dr. Jerry Punch was a part of, is turning 30 this year, and he shares some stories about that movie. And interesting thing, Jason, that he told me about was that Tom Cruise showed up and wore followed Jerry Punch around at a race in Watkins Glen, New York in the summer of 1989, wearing a microphone that was attached to the bill of his hat because he wanted to be able to, they wanted to be able to record the conversations between the drivers because they wanted to be able to pick up on the lingo and kind of how those guys talked for the movie. So interesting stuff. You can find all that by going over to 929thegame.com.
Yeah, it's attention to the craft. I mean, you know, that's the thing that Tom Cruise has always been known for with acting. He does a lot of his own stunts, at least in the past. And,
yep.
You know, you want it to be accurate. And that's one of those movies that I forget about sometimes. It's a great movie, and it's a great watch. And now what I want to do is go and listen to the doc's comments on this and then watch it back with that extra knowledge.
Let's get into a little bit of baseball. Of course, the Braves getting workouts underway. If you're on Twitter, I'm sure by now you have seen the some of the pictures that have been tweeted out from the Braves actually on the field and working out at Truist Park. So baseball season, we're at least getting closer to that getting underway. There's a couple of new rules that are in effect for this 60 game season in 2020 that I think most people are probably familiar with. The idea, you know, it's a 60 game season. There's five teams in the playoffs. There's a designated runner on second base to begin every half inning after the ninth. Teams are going to have to submit a list of 60 players that are eligible. Those that aren't on the active roster, they will continue to work out, almost kind of like a taxi squad in football, that if somebody goes down, you're not going to have minor league baseball this year, so that's where you're going to pull those guys up from. But there's a couple of other rules this year for baseball that I don't know have gotten a whole lot of attention, one of which, Jason, is fighting. And here is the reason why this is, I think, so important is, according to Major League Baseball, violation of the rules will result, now this is where it comes to fighting, they say that it will result in severe discipline consistent with past precedents. So that means that the discipline is not going to be reduced or prorated based on the length of the season. So they're not going to factor in the season length when they punish you for fighting. If you get into a brawl and it would have earned a 10-game suspension last year, that means you get a 10-game suspension this year. You're sitting for 1/6 of your season now.
I'm for it. And the main reason why is when you look at baseball and you compare it to the other sports, and we have to look at everything through the lens of COVID-19, baseball is a sport that has a lot of distancing, a lot of social distancing, just as part of the way the game's played. One time that you don't have that is where you have an altercation, where you have a fight, where you have the dugouts clear. And those are the times that there is more risk. And you want to eliminate that. You want to make it clear that you don't want these players congregating on the field in the normal pushing and shoving that we see in these moments where the dugout's clear. Maybe occasionally a punch gets thrown. But you don't want the people in close proximity like that on the field. So you have to keep the penalties severe and more severe on a percentage basis to eliminate that.
Yeah, you want to keep your team's play. You want to hurt your team's playoff chances in a 60-game season? Let a pivotal player go out and throw a punch.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look this up. Last year, there was a fight between the Pirates and the Reds that resulted in a bunch of suspensions last year. I think the game was in August, but there was a 10-game an 8-game and a 5-game suspension that were all handed out in that. Plus, there were a couple of 3-game suspensions, including Yasiel Puig, who got a 3-game suspension from it. So, look, any animosity that anybody has towards the Houston Astros, you better keep that stuff in check for until 2021, because it's going to get you in trouble this year.
They dodged a bullet because of this, because there would have been probably a few people thrown at in a normal season. I don't think it's going to happen now.
The extra inning rule, and again, this is one of those that I think most people have heard of. I didn't realize, though, this week, and what it is, it's basically a softball rule. For those of you that, if you have daughters that play softball, or if you follow collegiate softball especially, you see this where in extra innings, they begin with a designated runner on second base. Now, so baseball is going to do that this year during the regular season. And then what I don't understand, Jason, is we're going to play with one set of extra inning rules in the regular season. And then when the postseason comes around, we're going to go back to normal. I don't understand why you have one set of rules for the regular season and a completely separate set of rules for the postseason. Doesn't make any sense.
I think it's all down to the compressed schedule. You know, playing so many games in a short period of time, you don't want those 18, 20-inning games that go late into the night that complicate everything. You don't want pitchers getting blown out like that. You don't want these situations where teams empty the bullpen. You want to get the games over with as quick as possible. I think that's why you have it. But you don't want to affect the way the game is played in the postseason. You know, we see this sometimes in the soccer world where cup competitions, for example, won't go to extra time during the competition, but they will for the final. They'll go straight to penalties if it's level at the end of regulation during the tournament. And then in the final, they'll play extra time and then still go to penalties if they have to. I think it's just down to the wear and tear, and they want to get these games over with as fast as possible.
You're going to see a lot of small ball during the regular season. So if that's what you like to see, if you like to see guys trying to lay down the bunt to get the runner over to third and then a sacrifice fly to score somebody from third, I think we're going to see a lot of that during this regular season in baseball, as opposed to what baseball has become over the last 20, 25 years has been, all right, let's just win it with a long ball, right? If we're down by a run, let's get a runner on and win it with a two-run homer.
Yeah, you're going to have to modify that. You're going to have to be able to do some different things. I mean, just the fact that you go into the extra innings and you have a runner on second to start it, that changes your approach completely. It changes the strategy. The managers and the ones who, you know, kind of get that extra tactical element quicker, it's going to be interesting to see who takes advantage of it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore. Glad to be hanging out in place of Andy and Randy today. They're off playing golf on their off day, but Jason and I glad to come in and hang out with you as we talk a little bit of baseball here. Some new rules in effect for 2020 as the Braves get on the field today to prepare for the 2020 season. Pitchers will be allowed to carry a watered-down rag in their pocket. Now, there is a ban this year on putting your fingers in your mouth, so you can't do that. Nothing other than water is going to be allowed on this rag. How many games do we play before a pitcher gets busted for putting something improper on this wet rag in his back pocket?
First series around the league, somebody's getting busted for it. It's going to happen. I mean, with everything we've seen in baseball and trying to bend the rules or break the rules blatantly, we're going to see it happen. I get it. I understand. Again, it comes down to the COVID-19 world we're in. You don't want pitchers putting their hand to their mouth. So you have to come up with an alternative for it. But it opens a door to some things maybe ending up on that rag that aren't supposed to.
Yeah, umpires, they can check this at any time. Batters can ask for the umpire to check it at any time. So
there you go. See, that's what's going to happen is you're going to get, hey, I need you to go check that. That was a really good curveball. I need you to go check that.
Could you imagine, and I don't know how much it goes on today, but in the days of those guys like Gaylord Perry in the late 60s and 70s, who was doctoring a baseball left and right, was, you know, had Vaseline tucked in various and sundry places on his body that he could get to. What would those guys have done if you said, hey, look, we're going to let you carry a wet towel out to the pitcher's mound?
Oh, wow. See, here's my question, though. you mentioned, you know, putting Vaseline on the ball and doing things like that. What about hand sanitizer? You know, does hand sanitizer have any effect on a curveball? I don't know.
May have to go out in the backyard and try that later. That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that. A little bit of Purell can make that ball dance a little bit. Also, too, first MLB players have opted out of playing in 2020. Diamondbacks right-handed pitcher Mike Leake, Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond, the Nationals Joe Ross and Ryan Zimmerman have both said they won't play. So, look, as I view this, Jason, players that don't want to play, that is their prerogative. That's their business. They don't owe any of us an explanation.
No, it's a unique situation, and it's a tough decision because it's not just the player that's involved in what goes into that decision. And the latest one from this morning from a Zoom call, Mike Trout said that he's wary about it because his wife is expecting their first baby in August, and he doesn't want to do anything to jeopardize his wife's health, the baby's health. It's a difficult decision in those scenarios. MLS is going through it as well with Carlos Vela in that exact same situation, the reigning MVP of the league who might opt out of the tournament. There's not a right answer to it. You know, every player is in a different personal situation, and they have to be given the freedom to opt out if that's what they need to do for their personal lives.
Well, and you've got some guys that are out there right now that maybe don't have a job, don't have a team, that are veteran players that, you know, of course, we'll see how the season goes. There may be an opportunity where they get signed as we go through the season. But I think for a lot of guys, you know, this may be 2020 may be their swan song without them ever getting a chance to even swing a bat. You take, you know, Ryan Zimmerman, for example. Even if the designated hitter sticks in the National League, I personally think it will. They're not going to add it in for a year and then take it away, I don't think. I think the DH is here to stay. Zimmerman's 35. He'll be 36 in 2021. How many teams want to sign a 36-year-old backup first baseman?
Not many, but here's the thing. When you do have these opt-outs, it creates an opportunity for somebody else, whether it's a veteran one more year out there, a young player who might not have gotten that opportunity. And they're in a different situation. They're in a difficult spot because they might have reasons for not wanting to play, but that opportunity might bring them back in.
We are going to find out if Jason is any good at sports trivia because we'll play a little sport. I'm terrible at it. So I'll just, you know, but you may beat the heck out of me here. But we'll get into it. Sports Jeopardy, that's next on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore in and place of Andy and Randy today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Andy and Randy. Sports Jeopardy.
Okay.
Brought to you by Engineered Solution of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore. We are in for Andy and Randy here on 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app. Glad to be with you. And yes, it is indeed time for us to play another great edition of Sports Jeopardy. So we'll turn things over to your host. He's not Alex Trebek. The hair isn't quite as good as the hair that Alex Trebek brought to Jeopardy, but Kenneth Roundtree to lead us through Sports Jeopardy.
All right, guys, here are the rules. Your name is your buzzer. So as soon as you know the answer, you think you know the answer, just say your name, and we'll call on you. And we'll just go until the segment ends, and we have a winner. All right? So first question, which New York Yankee was nicknamed the Iron Horse?
Jason.
Chris.
Jason.
Lou Gehrig.
That is correct. Jeez. It was Lou Gehrig. All right. Who was the MLS Coach of the Year in the 2009 season?
I'll let you take it, Chris, if you want.
Go ahead.
2009. I got to think back now. Jason.
Go ahead.
Jason Kreis.
No.
Ah, who was it?
Chris, you can answer if you want to, if you think you know.
You know what? You know what?
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. Was it? Look, the only soccer guy that I know is Bruce Arena.
It was Bruce Arena.
That was a good guess.
That's
right.
Yeah,
he was the only reason why I know that is he was on with me and Harper in the summer. I think it was either last year or 2 years ago. And before we did the interview, he and I talked for a minute, and we talked a little bit about the MLS, and he mentioned that he coached in the MLS. So he was the only guy from, and I didn't even know if he was even in the league in 2009. So that was totally a
got to the final. They lost in the final. I went with the winning coach in the final. My bad.
All right, we're tied 1-1. What team did Kobe Bryant's father, Joe Jellybean Bryant, play for?
Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Was it the Dallas Mavericks?
No.
Oh.
I'll take a stab at it, Jason.
All right.
Philadelphia 76ers.
It is the Philadelphia 76ers.
All right.
Of course, Kobe Philly kid, so that makes kind of sense there. Let me go. All right, here we go. Which tennis star won an incredible 20 Wimbledon titles and 13 U.S. Open titles? I'll give you guys a hint. This is a women's star.
Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
Martina Navratilova.
No.
Chris. Billie Jean King.
It is Billie Jean King, Chris.
It had to be one of those two. So Jason just took one out of the equation for me.
All right, how many FIFA World Cup tournaments has Diego Maradona played in?
Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
He played in 4.
He did play in 4. All right, it's 3-2, Jason. Let me go to another one. Okay, here we go. In 2012, Colin Kaepernick sets the all-time playoff game rushing record for a quarterback against who?
Can't remember who
Chris,
it was.
Was that against the Falcons?
It was not, no.
Okay.
I'll take a guess then. The Packers.
It was the Packers.
That was complete luck.
All right, here we go. Who was the first person to repeat as Cy Young winner?
Oh, man. I don't.
Well, it wasn't Cy Young.
It was not Cy Young, no.
So, let's see.
I don't even have a guess.
Chris, I'm going to say, was it Sandy Koufax?
It was Sandy Koufax.
Ooh.
It's amazing to think that all those great pitchers the Yankees had during the 50s, and I'm not exactly sure when they started handing out the Cy Young Award, but it's hard to believe that it didn't happen in the 60s, because I knew Koufax, or in the 50s rather, I knew Koufax did it in the mid-60s, but I wasn't sure if it had been done before him, but he was the earliest guy that I could think of.
Good pull.
All right, let's see, Here we go. How old was Barry Bonds when he hit his 500th career home run?
Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
39.
No.
You don't have to say it like that.
Sorry.
Wow.
It's incorrect.
I will say 34.
No, he was 36.
Ah, okay.
So still 4-3 Jason on this one. Let me go. Who coached the San Francisco 49ers in a blowout win in Super Bowl? I think this is 24.
Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
Bill Walsh.
No.
Chris.
Go ahead.
George Seifert.
It was George Seifert.
That's right.
We're all tied up. All right. Which golfer is known for wearing sunglasses no matter what the conditions?
I don't know.
I got nothing.
I have nothing.
It's a Fuzzy Zoeller.
Oh, Fuzzy Zeller. Fuzzy Zeller question. I did not expect that.
Yeah, no. You got me there. You got me there.
All right, hold on. Sorry.
Trying to stump us over here.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get a good one here. Okay. Where did 2017 NFL first-round draft pick Myles Garrett play college football?
Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Texas A&M?
Yeah, that's easy.
Of course, the host of the college football show is going to get that
one. I should have gotten that one. If I didn't get that one, I wouldn't be here come September or I hope August. But
All right. The Kansas City Royals won the 2014 American League Championship Series 4-0 against which team?
Chris, did they beat the Yankees?
No, they did not beat the Yankees.
Red Sox?
No. Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, wow.
See, forgot about that. Who forgot? Yeah, exactly. Because basically after that, it's like the Orioles just fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After that series.
All right. Still Chris 5, Jason 4. All right. How many players are on a rugby team?
Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
15?
It is 15. Woo.
Well, by God, if I'm going down, at least I'm going out on the rugby question, right?
The rugby and the Diego Maradona questions. I'm in today.
Last one here, Ken. Then we're gonna wrap it up after this. Last question. Are we tied at 5?
We're both tied. All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. This is for the win.
In what city is the Little League World Series played? Jason. Go ahead, Jason.
Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Gosh. It is. All right. That was a good one. So close.
Yes, but so far.
You tried to sandbag it. Like, oh, I'm no good at sports trivia.
Come on. Well, no, I'm not. I'm not. Thank gosh he did. He did. Look, baseball trivia, I'm pretty good with. The NFL, I'm generally pretty good with, especially if you go back far enough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with some of those, I mean, you know, look, the soccer and the tennis, that was an absolute just, I'm throwing darts at that point, hoping to hit something.
Bruce Arena saved the day for you.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Hey, by the way, Ross Dellinger, who covers LSU, at Ross Dellinger, he has tweeted out a picture. Ed Orgeron, the head coach at LSU, has taken up a new hobby. You know, Coach O got divorced this offseason, or is in the process of getting divorced. So I guess he felt like he needed to have a new hobby. He can't be around his team right now. So you know what he's doing?
I'm afraid to ask.
He's boxing.
Wow, that was not where I was going to go with that.
Yeah, Ed Orgeron, picture of Ed Orgeron in the ring boxing.
I'm not getting in the ring with Coach O.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. The stories about him as the head coach, you know, the one thing he, and John Chuckery and I, we always talk about this on our college football show, some of the crazy stories that came out of Coach O when he was coaching at Ole Miss. And one of the things that he did his first day there, he came in the room, ripped his shirt off, and challenged everybody to a fight. And I think the dude was serious. I mean, I think if somebody come at him, he would have dropped you.
That's one way to assert your dominance, I guess, coming into any situation.
Yeah, now, I think in Coach O's defense, he has since grown up a little bit since that time at LSU, or maybe not grown up, but I think he's definitely changed how he handles himself and how he handles people. But, Ed Orgeron, the boxer, that's his new hobby, according to Ross Dellinger, at Ross Dellinger, if you want to see the picture on Twitter. What a, who knows? I guess the pandemic has forced a lot of us. Have you picked up a new, you developed a new hobby? Jason?
No, I really haven't. I mean, I tried growing the beard out for a while, and it got so long I just couldn't handle it. So I couldn't even do that. So no, I haven't yet. I need to get back out on the golf course like our friends Andy and Randy were able to do today. I need to get back into that. I think that's where I'm going to go. That's the direction I'm going to go. I'm not boxing, I'll tell you that much.
All those things that I had said for years that I wish I had time to do, one of which is reading. Like I love to read. And I've always said, boy, one day when things slow down, I hope I can catch back up on my reading. And I still haven't. I still haven't been able to get caught up on the stuff that I want to read that I wish I would have had time. I have spent more time at the lake this year. Bass fishing has been good. I can tell you that the fish are not at all bothered by the coronavirus.
Good.
They are still biting, so... as long as the fish are still biting, I'm good. I've done quite a bit of that here over the last couple of months. We'll get back with a look at what's trending. We'll talk some college football as well. We'll hear more from Dr. Jerry Punch. We'll get his take on what he thinks college football looks like in 2020. All that still to come as we continue on. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore, in for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.